everybody give me a chance to get wired. Father, I have your word, and I believe it's true. I am everything it says I am. I have everything it says I have. And I can do everything it says I can do. Jesus' name. Amen. Today's title is Living by the Spirit. As I've explained to you before, we are progressing to a place where we can live by the Spirit. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's learning how to die and recognize what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. We have to try to constantly be mindful that we are insignificant in comparison to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And He wants to do something in us before He does something through us. Amen? And so today, hopefully, because I am feeling a little under the weather, that the anointing of God will carry me through and be able to articulate this. This will be a very short message, but it'll be interesting, hopefully. Amen? Turn to Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. Put your finger there. Go to 2 Corinthians 3, and put your finger there at verse 17. Amen? Galatians 5, 16 through 18 says, "And so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." And 2 Corinthians 3, 17 says, "And now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." As I had said last week, and giving you the understanding of what we have done as a progression to get you to a place of understanding, we dealt with sin issues at the beginning, and then we dealt with issues that are congruitous to our understanding of who we are and where we are. Then I talked about the kingdom and the understanding of principles, understanding how those principles come to play, and now understanding the Holy Spirit as our governor, who is the one whose responsibility is to train us and teach us to be citizens of heaven. And if that is so true, then last week I gave you permission to stop doing the Holy Spirit's job. Remember? It's not a matter of doing, it's a matter of being. There is a little known fact that how you live reveals your culture, and your culture reveals your origin. And our culture is revealed by how we behave, how we respond to people, how we respond to problems, situations, how one deals with disappointments in life. And to the casual observer, it's just a matter of time before that individual is able to determine what your culture is. What is our culture? Can anybody tell me what our culture is? That's what the kingdom of God is. I'm saying, what is our culture? Kingdom people. Right. That's what we should be. We should be ever changing and reflecting what the kingdom of God is all about. And we don't have to wait till heaven to get to the kingdom. The kingdom is here now, resident within us, wanting to change and get rid of all the junk in us so that Jesus Christ can use us for His glory. Amen? And so what happens is at times we fail to understand how the Holy Spirit works in our lives because we don't remember. We don't constantly remind ourselves that we are spiritual people living in an earthly body. We allow the worldly things of this world constantly bombard us and causes us to forget who we are. Because, after all, we think that we're like the world. But the truth is, we live in the world, we're not of it any longer. That's the truth. And as citizens of heaven, a casual observer can determine whether you are from heaven or from earth by watching your life for a short time. Remember, I've said that, you know, if a Greek wanted to find out what you were all about, he'd follow you around for a day and see if it was true. But if a Jew wanted to find out what you were about, he'd follow you around for a week, because the chances that within that week's time for him to find out what you're really all about would come to pass. He would be able to see your shortfalls. He would be able to see your strengths. He would be able to determine if you call yourself a Christian, if it's for real or not. And that's what the culture is. How do we act or behave really determines what our culture is, and that culture determines our origin. Our origin is where? God's Spirit, which is from heaven, right? That's our origin. He reignited us. He regenerated our spirits in such a way that we now are sensitive to God. But our minds have not been renewed, because it's so hard for us to comprehend the truth of we are kingdom people, we have dominion, and that our lives should reflect that dominion constantly. What we do is, yeah, we're Christians, and God loves me, and so when I sin, you have to love me because God loves me. Well, we do. We love the sinner, and we love the person. Well, we don't have to condone the sin, because God has empowered us with His Spirit and with His grace that we now have a matter of choice. We either can choose to sin or choose not to sin. And this is where it comes in, that this warfare is that we're constantly being bombarded in how are we going to behave. And God says, your behavior determines where your residency is or where your culture is. If you were in the Bahamas, you would be able to tell a Bahamian from a tourist how. Not just by the way they speak, but the way they conduct themselves, by the way they eat, by the way they move around. Can people tell that you're a Christian? Or they can't tell that you're a Christian. And I'm not making a judgment on you guys, but I want you to come to expand your minds in such a way that you know, we can't do Christianity. We just can't. That's the law. And that's what Paul was saying, that if you're being led by the Spirit, you're no longer under the law. The law is a bunch of do's and don'ts, right? We can't do the law. All the law does is show us that we can't do this. We are sinners, and we're going to mess up. And so the only way that we are incapable or capable of not messing up is how? By living in the Spirit. And it is possible to live in the Spirit, because Jesus showed us that it was possible. He became a man. He lived in the flesh. And it's really uncanny how He never sinned. He never spoke evil of anybody. He never lied to anyone. He never did any harm to anybody. And you know, He was perfect. And we can't excuse the fact that He was God too. We can't excuse that, because God dwells in us. He has empowered us. So it comes down to the bottom line is, what is your decision? Because your decision is based on your culture. And your culture will reveal your origins. Are you tied to the world and doing the things like the world? Or are you tied to heaven, ever changing into the image of Jesus Christ? And that's the bottom line. Now, how do we get from point A to point B? How do we do this? Well, Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruit. The problem was that in Jesus' time that the Pharisees wanted to keep people. Religion controls people. Did you know that? It's the religious leaders controlling the people by keeping them doing instead of becoming. We should ever be becoming more and more intellectual in who we are and in what God says that we are, and living in that direct revelation. We should be. But we don't, because we tend not to renew our mind. We tend not to figure out. God has regenerated our spirits, but we have this breaking between the two. You know, my mind is not totally rewired, but my spirit is. And my spirit is trying to get my mind to do what it wants to do, but my mind doesn't want to do it because my flesh is working in unison with my mind to tell me I'm not to do this. And so the body wants to do the sinful acts. The mind and the soul together wants to agree with that. But the spirit that is within us says you don't have to do that anymore. I mean, we could be going through Romans 6, 7, and 8 just in this, but I'm trying to make this concise and show us that it is a matter of choice now. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. You know, it's real hard for me to not do this sin. What are you named a sin? No, it just tells me that you would rather take the easy way out than do the right thing. And the right thing is to honor God. God wouldn't tell us that we couldn't do this if we couldn't do it. He has empowered us with His Spirit. He has given us His grace. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to enable us, to conform us into the image of what heaven is and what God says. We are to reflect the full nature of our King in all aspects. Now the Holy Spirit is to assist us to appropriate the victory that Jesus won on the cross in every area of our sinful nature by exposing sin, leading us to repentance, and then rooting out all resistance. And that's the problem. We want to resist the things of God. We, you know what? Can I just get real for a second here? We don't want to do the things of God because that will require something of us. And so we choose the lesser form because that's what we're comfortable in doing. And we make every excuse not to do what God says to do because we don't want to do it. Just be truthful with yourself. You don't want to do it because you find it's a lot easier. But you know what? That's going to cost you so much. To live in the carnality of your decision making is going to cost you more than what you're willing to pay. It's going to cost you your position in heaven. It's going to cost your maturity in Jesus Christ. It's going to cost you in being used of God in a proper way to represent Him. It's going to cost you rewards that He has already meted out on that day of judgment for us. See, He's paid for everything to enable us to become just like Him. It's just now a matter of choice in our lives, whether we will or not. And this is where we have this tug of war. It's in our minds. I can remember when I first got saved. I was still doing the doobies and stuff, and I'd be reading Scripture, and I'd say, man, you know, and hear the logic. The logic is really deep. I said to friends of mine that in these drugs that I'm taking to anesthetize my mind, just think of what God's got in heaven for us. If this is good for this, just think of what He's got there for me. Can you see how dumb that is? Next to God, there's nothing. Nothing worth it. Because when you see God, and you see Him as He is, you will fall in love with Him so, so deeply that you're wondering why you give in to your carnality. And that's not to say that we don't fall, you know, either through responses that are not good or anything. We do. But when the Holy Spirit brings conviction to us, what do we do when that comes? It's all important because the longer that we stay within our own carnality, the worse our condition becomes. And to say that we have no sin, we make God a liar because He says we've all sinned, fallen short of the glory. That's the truth. He now puts the responsibility on your shoulders and my shoulders to eliminate all excuses because we're not going to stand before Him and give Him a bunch of excuses why or why not. Because He's given us everything that pertains to life. He has. And it all comes from the governor training us, teaching us in the way that we need to do. And so renewing our mind is simply becoming enlightened to the truth of heaven's culture. When we become enlightened, the Holy Spirit tells us, you can't do this anymore because that's what the world does. And you're like, well, what do you mean? I can't eat Twinkies. Well, I saw a movie where the other day where a Twinkie was pulled out and a bug ate the Twinkie 2,000 years later when it was manufactured and the Twinkie was still good. I think I would eat that Twinkie too if I was hungry. But the fact of the matter is that God loves us so much that He has given us everything that pertains to life. It's whether we choose to use it or not. Well, Pastor, you know, I'm not as smart as you. Believe me, I'm not that smart. I've learned one truth, and this simple truth is that if I don't have my mind renewed every day, I will fall back into my fallen estate quicker than anybody has. And because you guys see me, your estate will go even faster, because as I go down, so will you. And so I understand my responsibility. You don't understand yours. And your responsibility is not to me. Your responsibility is to your God who has died and saved you and to bring you about. That's really where it is. And He's put that responsibility on you. Well, you know what, Pastor? That may be all well and true, but the bottom line is that, you know, I don't want to conform to what God wants to do. That's okay. That is okay. I would rather you be truthful and honest where you are, and I've said it to individuals, go and live like the heathen. Be the best heathen that you can be, but don't blame God. Don't blame Him, because it's all a matter of choices. Don't run away from God, because you know what? God's everywhere. And when you get to your destination, God's going to say, hey, here I am. How you guys doing? He's like that. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to conform heaven's culture into us, to bring us into conformity. He does this in two ways. First, He alerts us about the sin that we're either thinking about getting involved in or we have gotten involved in. And it's like the first warning system. It's radar. Do not go there. Do not go there. This is bad, Rachel. Do not go there. And you say, word up. I'm not going there. Or what happens is when you do fall, He says, come back to God. Come back to God. You don't want to stay here. This is bad. It's awful. It's bad. Rachel, repent. Get it under the blood. Get back to God as quickly as possible because He loves you. He doesn't want to see you hurt yourself anymore. Now, Rachel has a choice. She can either choose to continue in her propensity to sin, or choose to repent, get it under the blood, and allow the Holy Spirit to bring the correction in her first before she is able to become what God has said for her to become. It's all part of the renewing of the mind. If we do not agree with God, then we are at odds with God. And the second is, He reminds us of what the King has said through the Word. When we're in the Word and we're reading the Word, we get convicted. He uses the Word to convict us so that we understand that we're not walking a straight and narrow path. Well, Pastor, you know, I don't have to do that. Well, you may think you don't have to, but you called on Jesus to save you from your muck and mire. What makes you think that you can continue in that? I mean, that was the whole subject of Romans 5, talking about do we continue to sin when grace was given? Heaven, no. We don't continue just because you got grace. Now what you do is you make God's grace greasy. You can slip on through and slip on out thinking that you can. The Holy Spirit's trying to get you back to where you need to be. And all you're doing is slipping closer to hell. Whether you realize it or not, your relationship with God is in jeopardy. And the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to understand that He wants us not to reflect the kingdom of darkness any longer. We have been brought into a kingdom of light. And so when we surrender our lives to the King, He then gives us the governor. And the governor's job is to teach us in the way that we need to go. This is why it's so important for believers, especially new believers or make believers, that we eliminate all the stuff from the world as much as possible. Get rid of your druggy friends, because all you're going to do is stay as a druggy. Get rid of the people that cause you to sin in other areas. Get rid of the media stuff that causes your mind to think about perversion. Get rid of the stuff that is non-conforming, because that is the world's culture. And the more that you continue staying in the world's culture, it goes through your eyes and in your ears, it affects your mind, your soul, and your will. And your emotions do not come into play. And you have this constant warring going on inside you. And if you have this constant warring going on inside you, you are not at peace. And the first thing that God gives to us, and He says to us over and over, is peace be unto you. Not as the world gives you, but the way I give to you. Peace. And there's some of us here today that are in turmoil. Well, I want to do this, but I can't do that. I like to do that, but I don't want to do this. You know, and we're constantly being in this tug of war within our spirit. And the only thing I can say to you is, you need to repent. Stop trying to fight God, because this is the Holy Spirit trying to bring you into conformity. It is understanding that you can live this life, but we fail to recognize how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. I had a conversation with a person the other day, and I was talking about why it is that Christians settle for so less. They settle for even less than the crumbs. And I said to this individual, I said, I believe it's because it's easy for them. It's easy because it takes work for me to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying. It takes work for me to conform and allow Him to bring out those issues that's in my life. I war just like you do. Maybe in more ways than you understand, I war. But that doesn't give me the right not to be conformed into heaven, reflecting the culture of heaven. And if it doesn't give me the right, you don't have the rights either. You may still think that you do, but you don't. Because that's what salvation is all about. You know, and in this country, we think that we have rights. We think that we can do things. We think we have this thing. And you know what? And no one understands what it means to live under a sovereign. And this is what I'm trying to get you guys to understand, is that that's the world's culture. We live in America. We're not of America. So anybody that says, I'm American, you're living far below what you are. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Sons and daughters of the Most High God. All power and authority is given unto you. For what reason? To take dominion on the earth. Now this brings us to a concept of His fruit, fruits of the Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Who knows what the fruits of the Spirit are? Patience. Gentleness. Faithfulness. Self-control. 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 It means you're in control of yourself. Oh, the devil made me do it. No, I don't think so. You just fell in line with the devil. The devil manipulates and tries to persuade you to sin. And you know what? Because your mind is not renewed, you fall for it every time. Every time. Don't you think that if you're constantly going around the same thing over and over again, and you're expecting a different result, that there's something wrong? There is. It's wrong because we have no peace in our heart. And we're in constant warfare with the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do in our lives. But if we would just recognize that the Holy Spirit wants to bring correction to our lives, and we say, yes, Lord, you're absolutely right. I've sinned here. I need your forgiveness. I need you to cover this under the blood. I need you to change my life. And the funny thing is, the stuff that he wants to start with are the easy things. And if you're not willing to let him deal with the easy things, when you're walking with him as long as I have, and he's now in every dark nook and cranny of the corners trying to get that crap out of your life. Oh, crap. I'm sorry. That's poopy. Trying to get that stuff out of your life. See, he's not satisfied in just taking the junk that's easy to get rid of. He wants every nook and cranny clean so that you reflect the culture of which you have been born into. And your unwillingness to do that only impedes your spiritual growth. I have a friend of mine, I've been ministering to him, he's a Spanish fella. And the other day he come up to me and he says, Gary, you and I are amigos, right? I said, yeah. Yeah, we're amigos, Lou. Then why you not tell me? You break my feelings. You not tell me you're a pastor. And I said, was I supposed to advertise it? He goes, well, I wouldn't, and then he rattled off all these cuss words. I wouldn't say that in front of you. I said, and does that affect us being amigos? Now that you know that I'm a pastor? But I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't do this. Did I change? No, I didn't change. But he came into a realization that there's something different. And now all of a sudden he's got the revelation of what's different about me compared to him. You see, we think we got to do something different. No, we've got to become different. Our character is what has to become different. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit. You know, we're going through roots of character. And I'll tell you what, those who have gone through roots that are part of this have come up and said to me, you know what, the last time you taught this, you were dealing with sin issues and all, but now you're teaching from a different plane. I said, I've matured. Yeah, we're teaching about sin issues here, but I've matured. And if I mature, I expect you to mature. And that goes back to the question of why is it that we as Christians would rather suffer with the crumbs instead of tapping into the eternal potential within us to make a reality different? And I've concluded, Christians would rather wait and see what would happen to them, or they're waiting for something to happen for them instead of making something happen through them. That's the truth. Look at your lives. Look at my life. What's different? Are you waiting for something to happen for you? Are you waiting for God to do something for you that He's already told you you got to do? Or are you waiting for something to happen for you that I'll knock on the door and I'll ask and I'll seek, but I don't have any responsibility of just making something happen? Or are we kingdom people whose whole desire is to evangelize this world for Jesus Christ, that people come to know the salvation, that God loves the world. He loves everybody. He is a people God. And that He's coming back. And when He comes back, He's not going to be the little baby Jesus. He's coming back as King of the universe. And all those people that have not heard is without excuse. They're going to hell. All those sinners who did not repent, who knew the gospel, are going to hell. Only the true believers who live by the Spirit shall be saved. And that's what the Scriptures say. That's what the Scriptures teach. This is, you know what? This is a challenge for every believer. Well, Pastor, you know, you're just excited about the facts in there. I'm not excited about people going to hell. I was one of them. And somebody shared with me. I didn't want to hear it, but they shared with me. And you got something that is so valuable within your spirit, waiting to be given away, but you're afraid that someone's going to think ill of you. You're afraid that you don't have the words to say. And Jesus said, it ain't you. It's the Spirit of God in you. You just got to open your mouth and start. Why do you live so less? The Spirit wants to develop our character. He wants us to think, act, speak, and live as kingdom citizens. No longer in allegiance to the world. And the only way that's going to happen is if we spend time with Him. The more time I spend with God, the more I become like God. Why? Because God is being built up in my spirit man. Although my outer man is dying, my spirit man is growing. You know, when you read Joel 2, and he says, you know, in the last days of dreams and have visions, what do you think he's talking about? I've got a vision from God. I have a dream the other night when I was asleep. And God came to me and spoke to me about this. That's not what he's talking about, church. He's talking about what has he put in you? What are the dreams and hopes and visions that he's put in you for your life to change the world? And you're letting the world steal them, seal them, and keep them from being manifested. And you're responsible to God to bring them out. That's what Joel was talking about. He was not talking about some super spiritual revelation. Although those things manifest in the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit of God shows and reveals God's character. When we talk about God's gentleness, we're talking about His character. That's who He is. He is gentle. He is faithful. He is joy. He is love. He is all those and much more in His character. When we talk about the Spirit gifts, we're talking about God's ability. These are His abilities. He can give you a word of wisdom. He can give you a revelation. He can give you the ability to speak in tongues. He can give you the ability to interpret faith, supernatural faith, healings, casting out demons, discerning demons. This is all God's ability. If it's His character and His ability, then what am I? I am a vessel. And the only way that that's going to manifest is if I align and allow the culture of heaven enter into me. So at that time when He calls me and says, Nikki, I need you to do this. I'm going to give you a word for that person over there and I need you to go there. Are you going to be, is that you, Lord? I don't know if that's God. I don't know if I could go over there and speak to that person. Well, find out. Do it in obedience. You don't have to understand. You don't have to do anything. You just need to take the step of faith to make it happen. God will do the rest of the stuff. We make it so complex. We try to rationalize what's going on. And the fact is, the longer we try to rationalize and not surrender to the Holy Spirit, the worse our estate becomes. We're losing ground, church. God bless you. We're losing church. We're losing the church. Because how many believers are walking out of the church? There's not a reality any longer of God. They think the church is where we come and we have a fantastic worship service and then that's it for the rest of the week. Church is where you get trained in your citizenship. Church is where you get the opportunity to serve one another. Church is where you begin to expand your mind and begin to see the realities of the dreams and visions that God has put in your heart can be possible if you want to do the work. Jesus said there's a cost and you have to count the cost. What have you paid for? What have you paid for? To see the dreams and visions that God has put in your heart come about? Or are you still filled with excuses that the world gives us? Oh, you'll never be this. You're undereducated. You're not handsome. You're not a woman. The world tells you that, but God says all things are possible. And the possibilities only start if we stay and live in the Spirit. Church, I want to exhort you. There are people going to hell in your families. And they need to see a reality. They don't need to see you pretending to be in the church. They need to see a reality of your faith. They need to see that it's not just the 2 hours here on Sunday and the rest of the week you're doing your own thing. Because you know what? The world is filled with a bunch of hypocrites that come into the church and out of the church. They're looking for real believers, not make believers. Again, what's your culture? Is your life reflecting more of the world, or is it reflecting more and more of the kingdom? I can't determine that for you. I can only determine what it is for me. You have to make those determinations. You have to understand that you are the one responsible for your life. You are the one. Because you don't have, it's not God's fault. It's yours. He wants to give you so much more. And you are so satisfied with the crumbs that the world sweeps off the table and throws down there. And you say, oh, that's fine. That's okay. Kings and princes and queens and princesses eat the best, have the best, have the most. And that's who you are. Jesus said you'll have life in abundance. But if you don't want to conform to the Spirit and His directives, then you will be satisfied with the crumbs. And that's not your Father's desire for you. Amen? Wherever your culture is, it determines your origin. And if your culture is the world, then that's where your origin is. If your culture is heaven, you will be changing more and more, allowing the Holy Spirit to do His job to the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You for this time, Lord. And Father, I thank You that You're able to sustain me, Father. And I know I didn't do a good job today, Lord, but I ask that You forgive me. But the principle of it is God, that the Holy Spirit has to do the work. We cannot run from Him. We need to run to Him. We need to allow Him to work deeply within us to bring us into the conformity. We need to bring every thought, every vain imagination, every dream that is not of You, God. We need to bring it into captivity unto Jesus Christ, God. We need to begin to believe the greater possibilities, because all things are possible with You, God. All things are possible. And I pray that Your people today, I pray for Your church worldwide, God, that they would see the greater possibilities. That if they heard the things that You're showing me, God, and the faith that I have, that the building that we're going to have, and the classrooms we're going to have, and the kind of worship center that we're going to have, God, they would say, oh, that's never going to happen. But I have faith in You, God, that You're going to bring it to pass. I have faith in You, God, that when You speak a word, it's going to be true. And it's going to happen the way You want it to happen, God. You tell us not to despise the days of small beginnings, God. And these are small beginnings. And this is where the rough work is, you know, in breaking ground and cleaning the debris out of people's lives. Help us, Holy Spirit, not to bring that debris back into our lives. Help us to reflect our origin of heaven. Help us to live the culture, to act, think, speak, conduct ourselves in a way that would glorify You, God. And as we continue on, Father, I will give You praise. I will give You glory in all areas. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.